Do we talk about financial independence enough in this country? Do we understand the true meaning of financial freedom? Hello and welcome to Business in 15 podcast with me, Betty Mudondo. In this episode, we are talking transforming financial futures. We'll hear how Ayeko Ongodia Zeno is revolutionizing personal investments in Uganda. A shift in Ugandan perceptions about saving and investment has the potential for significant positive impacts on individuals and the national economy at large. Individual benefits include financial security, since saving allows Ugandans to build a safety net for emergencies, unexpected expenses, or future needs like education or retirement. This reduces financial stress and fosters the sense of security. In the end, Ayeko Ongodia, the founder of Zeno Investment, says it is to improve standards of living, since with savings and investments, Ugandans can afford better healthcare and overall well-being. New Vision caught up with him to discuss more regarding how he challenges stereotypes about saving habits in Uganda by helping individuals prepare for retirement and achieve their long-term financial objectives. Can you tell us about your experience working as a portfolio manager at NSSF Uganda and how it shaped your understanding of investment management?
My experience managing the NSSF portfolio, and I did this for about 4 years, between 2011, start of 2011 to end of 2014, was really my first experience as a professional investment manager. Of course, before that, I had worked in the financial services industry for maybe 5 years. I started 6 years, in commercial banking, and then I progressed to central banking. Subsequently took a break, went back to school in London. I happened to graduate at the worst possible time for a person pursuing a degree in mathematical trading and finance. This was in the middle of the financial crisis, 2007-2009. And so I actually decided to come back from London instead of pursuing a career there to take up a job at the NSSF as one investment analyst and then two portfolio manager. But really my job was beyond just deploying the fixed income portfolio across the East African markets. It also involved helping the NSSF figure out how it should invest the money they are collecting, what are the objectives, what are the constraints, what is the investment universe, and how do you allocate those resources across the investment universe.
What inspired you to start developing investment policy statements for smaller retirement funds after leaving NSSF Uganda?
So when I left the NSSF, I went to New York to pursue a doctorate. I sigh a little bit, yes, but I went to pursue a doctorate, and it was while in New York pursuing that doctorate that I used to come back and do those little jobs for these smaller retirement schemes. But it was while doing that work that I started getting interest from individuals, initially within the those individuals were usually members of the board of trustees for each of those schemes, who would say, you know what, you've done this for our institution, yeah? But can you help me with the same process, but for my personal savings, for my personal investment, for my family? I've been able to save maybe 5 million shillings just sitting in a bank account, or 10 million shillings just sitting in a bank account. How should I invest this money? And so I started getting a lot of those inquiries from individuals. Initially, I would say, no, I actually have to go back to school. I don't have time for you. It was interesting that way. But what happens is you turn one down, another one is referred. Turn another down, another one is referred. So the reason why we used to get that is people really needed guidance. Yeah? But to provide that guidance, you actually take nearly the same amount of time, effort, and energy to advise an individual as you would advising an institution, but you know an institution would not an individual would not necessarily be able to pay you the advisory fees an institution does. Yet I actually had very expensive fees and tuition and rent to pay in New York that I could not really generate from advising individuals. So I used to turn them down.
How did the idea of Zeno, an automated investment platform for individuals, come about during your time in graduate school in New York?
Go back to New York. At school, my university was located on Long Island, and on Long Island there are many investment firms. And so, and even many of my previous professors were either hedge fund managers or worked on Wall Street. So one of those firms came to my school, came to my uni to recruit a team to build an automated investment platform because they wanted to launch a retail strategy. They also previously only had institutional investors. Now they wanted to target retail investors. And so I was one of the people that was selected to join that team. I did the interviews, passed them, and but I did not join the team. The reason why I did not join the team is the requirement was that I drop out of school immediately and start working. If I was American, that was an easy decision. And also my legal status was tied to me staying in school, right? And so I could not really drop out, so I passed on the opportunity. But what it did, what that episode did, was really to plant an idea. Oh, there's actually a way you can automate the process of providing professional investment guidance for an individual. And then I remembered, oh, there were all these people back home in Uganda that needed this guidance, and I could not previously give it to them because I did not really could not make the time to advise each one individually. And so then I took on the challenge, oh, there's a way to provide this guidance and products inexpensively for the individual, but also in a way that can scale, which is essentially to automate. And what are you automating? You're technically automating the conversation I would have with, for example, you, Nelson, if you asked me that I am able to save $200,000 every month. Where should those savings be invested? Should it be in a one-year treasury bill, a five-year T-bond, or a share of Umeme, or Airtel, or Safaricom? Where should it be? So before telling you where that money should be invested, I would have to ask you some questions. One is, what is your objective? Why do you want to invest this money? Is it for your child's education? Is it for your retirement? Or is it to build a house? Or you're saving for a home? And then importantly, how much time do we have between now and then? And then what do you know about investment? What's your investment knowledge? And then what are your attitudes towards? So instead of having these conversations with each individual, we decided to build out a platform that replicates that conversation so you can input in the answers and then it automatically generates for you guidance.
What challenges did you face when transitioning from working with institutional clients to focusing on individual investors with Zeno?
The misconception is because you've seen the statistics, and obviously you typically use statistics because they provide empirical evidence, yeah? You've seen the statistics of savings to GDP ratio, right? The ratio of savings to GDP, and in this case, the savings are the NSSF plus a few other things. Maybe out, then you might refine that outside of the mandatory, because NSSF is mandatory. Outside of the mandatory, you find a very small set of people saving. Then at least the statistics on those savings, and then you divide that by the GDP. It doesn't paint a very good picture of the country or of the culture. However, by just doing that simple analysis, you miss a huge point. And this is what you miss. You miss the fact that people actually save. So that sounds very contrarian. Yeah? People actually save, but they just don't save in the normal ways you expect, in the normal ways your university or your books say that people save. And for the context of Uganda, that was really important in the sense that there were 2,300 investment accounts. So, of course, you check in those investment accounts versus the total population or even the working population or ETC, or even the employed population. That's a very small number. So you take that collective savings, you divide it by that potential, and you find a very small percentage. But people are saving, turning their cash into cars, into real estate, into all sorts of things. Some put them in circles that those who are lucky to see. And this is my big fight with the regulators, specifically of the retirement industry, that you find an institution right now. It has new employees, it has old employees. It has employees who are 52. It has employees that are 26. But they have a retirement scheme. And this retirement scheme has one single portfolio that is designed for the person that is 52 and 26. But technically, a person who is 52 only has 8 years to retirement.
Can you elaborate on the importance of articulating investment objectives and developing a plan to achieve them as observed throughout your career?
Essentially, the framework that I developed, and it's really just thinking about things from first principles, is, for me, it was slightly easier in the sense that there were people already asking for some sort of guidance, for something. But that is not sufficient. There's always people asking for things. It was, okay, what is the problem here, really? And for me, this is basically how the journey progressed. It is identifying the problem and defining it well, because sometimes if the problem is not well defined. So the problem here, quickly realized, it's not that people wanted to buy bonds or people wanted to buy an asset or treasury bills, etc. People, and this is the observation that we made, people wanted to transport some of their current resources to some time in the future, right? And so the way we sort of compose that is now how we sort of frame it, is every human being who gets up from their warm bed every morning to go and work is solving for two categories of financial obligations. Yeah? The first category is those current financial obligations that you'll meet within 1 month. Yeah? So your rent, your food, your transportation, those you have to get out and go and work in order to earn a living. However, even your grandma told you, when you earn some money, don't spend all of it, because there are certain obligations that are going to occur sometime in the future. Whether that future is 3 months down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, you will still be responsible for them. And to stand a good chance of being able to comfortably meet those obligations, you need to plan. You need to save, you need to invest. And so in our framing, really, people wanted to solve that future financial obligation. And so the way we captured that is essentially turn those financial obligations into goals. You have your child's secondary school goal, you have your child's university goal, or you have a goal of repairing your mom's home next year, or you have a retirement goal. Whatever, we just compose that into a goal and give it a target. It has a target amount, yeah? And so that is essentially how we sort of frame. And then what we go down to now, how do we enable this individual meet those goals, right? So first of all, you have to help them estimate what that goal is going to cost, yeah? So the way a person who is 26 should invest their retirement money should differ from the way a person who is 52 should invest their retirement money.
How did meeting Olive, a 57-year-old woman in Uganda, influence the direction and mission of Zeno in providing accessible financial guidance and investment solutions?
Yeah, for those who are not familiar, Olive was our first customer. So when we started back in 2017, Olive, 2017, we took our first customer in 2017, and you can imagine we built this very nice platform for the first time. It was shiny, it was fantastic, and you know, not just the ordinary person, even us, we thought this thing is for tech savvy millennials, right? The ones are going to find this useful, but bang comes Olive. So Olive came to me from a colleague I used to work with at the NSSF. He used to run the real estate portfolio while I ran the fixed income. And so he had gone to Olive's workplace to tell them about these apartment blocks, how to invest in real estate, how residentials versus commercial, the trade-offs, etc. But Olive took him aside. So this is all very nice, but here's my issue. I'm not going to tell you the exact number, but it was about 300,000 every month, right? I want to save it towards my retirement. I just realized I might not have set aside enough. And is there a product, or is there something you have or your friends can help with that can help me set aside that money, and it is invested and I can track it? So essentially this guy calls me, and we hadn't even gotten our licenses then. This guy calls me that I might have your first customer for you. We had submitted our license applications. We might have a first customer for you. And so she's called Olive. This is our phone number. Speak with her. So I went, I met Olive within the first 10, 15 minutes. Before we even got our licenses, she said, when this thing launches, I want to be your first customer. She said that, and of course, I told her within 2 weeks, of course, because the regulators had told us that you'd have your licenses within 2 weeks. So within 2 weeks, Olive, you'll be our first customer. Of course, what happens is Olive doesn't wait 2 weeks. She calls me the very next week. She says, hey, have you gotten the license? I say, Olive, no, you have to wait. I said, next week, call me. She calls me the second week. Have you gotten your licenses? Yes. No. Third week, no. Fourth week, no. It was only after the fifth week when we got our licenses and we were able to onboard her.
What role does technology play in delivering investment guidance and products at Zeno? And how has your team evolved to meet the needs of your expanding clientele?
It is all digitized. You can access it on our website, myzeno.com. That's myxeno.com. You can go to the App Store, search for Zeno Investment, Play Store or the App Store, iOS or Android. Zeno Investment, that's XENO Investment. And then you can access it on USSD on MTN mobile money. That is *165, *5, *7.
As a licensed and regulated fund manager, what ethical and professional standards does Zeno uphold in executing investments on behalf of its clients?
We're in the journey business and the trust business. Those are the two things, yeah? We're in the journey business and in the trust business. In the trust business, in the sense that people need to trust, first of all, that you know what you're talking about. Two, we're in the journey business is because this is not a one-time sell. This is not airtime that you sell and then forever, yeah? This is essentially a journey that you get on with an individual to see them through to their journey.
What are your aspirations and goals for Zeno in terms of expanding its reach and impact across Africa's financial landscape?
Estimate that Uganda is maybe going to get to 50 million people over the next 10 years, right? We estimate half of that, at least 20 million of them, will be working age population. And we fundamentally believe that everyone who works deserves, earns a living, deserves the opportunity to be able to live comfortably, free of fear of meeting their financial goals, if only we can provide them with the tools and guidance to help them plan, to help them save, to help them invest their savings towards their financial goals.
There are many Ponzi investment schemes in Uganda, in which millions of Ugandans have lost their hard-earned income. What can Ugandans do to navigate this challenge?
Again, I take a very contrarian view, and I have some statistics, that Ugandans are not scared of investing. It's just some Ugandans have been taken advantage of. That's true, and that's not something unique to Uganda. It happens everywhere, even the US and the UK. It happens everywhere. It's just like in every society, you will always find those bad apples, and the capital chicken won't be the last one, unfortunately. It was a very unfortunate episode. Every time it happens, it's terrible. It's terrible every time it happens. But just minimum things is these are anecdotal observations. One is people invest for the wrong reason sometimes. People invest like because they want to. Because this thing is cool, bifunashilaru. I don't know if that expression means anything. There's quick money to be made here. So basically, like the simplest way to understand that is don't put all your eggs in one basket. So I don't know. Does that sort of help? So you need a number of baskets to help you reach your objective. So we just identify what the objective is, and then identify what baskets can help. Help us reach that objective. So we are able to construct that portfolio for you, even if you have 10,000. By the way, that 10,000 shillings is divided across asset classes.
And that is it for this episode of Business in 15, featuring Ayeko Ongodia and how his Zeno is revolutionizing personal investments in Uganda. I am Betty Mudondo, and I hope you have picked one or two money nuggets. Credits to Nelson Mandela Mohozi and Julius Kafuluma, who produced this interview. For more of Vision Podcasts, do log on to www.newvision.co.ug/podcasts or find them in the Vision Digital Experience app.